Talking crap about people's hair?
No, I'm just saying that UW Twitter is down so bad today that they're making fun of Jared Sawyer's hair. If you're extremely online, you know who Jared Sawyer is.
I know who that is. I know, I've heard the name.
And I just
it seems like a volatile name on Twitter.
It is 100%. That's why I'm saying it's gross.
For all sides. Like he's volatile with everybody.
Okay. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like that's how bad it is that I'm like, show us your hair. I'm defending Jared Sawyer. Like if you're gonna make fun of his hairline, show us yours.
That's to the point you are. Yeah, right.
Simple.
Don't have a random picture of.
Don't make your comeback be his hairline when you're not going to show yours.
Cowards.
God, speaking of hair, though, I mean, you got the full pony now, don't you?
Oh, I do.
It's first pretty. Time. Yeah. Well,
yep.
That's good stuff.
Yep.
It is.
You could probably get it up there and top knot it too if you want to go real hipster with it.
I tried the top knot like 2 weeks ago. No, I can't do it.
He busts out the top knot for Tottenham Saturdays.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But top knot
Tottenham Saturdays. Let's go.
It doesn't quite work for me. I'm not saying the ponytail does either, but the top knot is it doesn't work for me.
I think it's good, man. I think with the beard, it's good. Like if you didn't have the beard, it wouldn't be good. But the full combo.
Yeah. Good. Well, it was because my whole thing was to grow my hair for a year, which would end on Labor Day. Is that what's in a couple of weeks?
It's coming up. Yeah.
I always get Labor and Memorial confused. But now I'm like, you know what? I might just grow my hair out longer and be Ricky Rubio for a couple of months.
Yes.
And then for a couple of months, just grow it down and just walk around like this with a beard and be Jesus.
100% Ricky Rubio.
Yeah.
By the way, and Ricky Rubio during the Olympics, I don't know if you caught much of him, but he was like thick beard.
Thick beard, long,
big ponytail. Yes. Like he was, yeah.
That was some luxurious España shit, right?
He has been hanging out in Spain for a long time leading up to that.
Very Barcelona,
Ricky Rubio. Good stuff.
Castilian. I do love. I feel like if you didn't take a Spanish class. Where you had a teacher who at some point just shamed every like other aspect of the Spanish language that wasn't Castilian. You really didn't take Spanish.
Right.
You needed that one teacher that just added to everything for just no real reason.
Well, that's how they pronounce things in Spain.
I know. I get it.
And nowhere else in the world.
Yes. It's funny. I'm saying.
So my, I know my dad sometimes listens to these, so I don't know if he'll hear this, but like he and my stepmom are going to, their plan here in the next like 5 or 10 years is to move to Spain.
Sick.
And just kind of live out the rest of their days in Spain. Stepmom was taking like Spanish classes, like lessons, like just, you know, whatever recordings or you take the little things, Rosetta Stone type shit. And I was like, well, you're taking like the Spain Spanish, right? Because there is a difference. Like it is it's not like super huge, but it is, there are like subtle differences. So like if you knew like, you know, Mexican Spanish, you would be able to get by, but it's different. And so she didn't know the difference. And so she's like, oh shit, I gotta get the other one. Yeah. It's mostly like that's pretty much it. But, yeah. But yeah.
Like, remember the Stanford tight end, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Arcega.
And then it came out his senior year that his like mother was from like Castilla. And so it became J.J. Arcega-Whiteside just out of nowhere.
I'm blanking on like other examples, but I love college football, especially because that's a thing where you'll spend 3 years pronouncing a person's name one way and then all of a sudden it'll change. And you're like, wait, what? or they change their name completely. It's like, no, I actually want to be known by this name instead. No, you're a brand now. You can't just like change your name. But especially nowadays, like that,
or you just watch a Marcus Mariota game and Mariota every single time. Yeah. Mariota.
Yeah, Kurt mentioned that on Twitter after
he talked to his mom. That's what that's what the mom said apparently.
Motherfucking Joe Tessitore said they spoke to Mariota's mom. Jesus, no. And then I remember Aaron Fentress literally went up to his mom and asked her, "It's like, so why are they pronouncing your name all funny? They said they talked to you about it." She's like, "No, they didn't. Like, we've never pronounced it that way ever." He posted, it was like a half an hour after the game ended, Fentress posted that, and everybody's just like, oh, Joe Tess, that was a bad moment. That was a bad moment.
If anyone out there is bored, just go to YouTube and look up Oregon versus Arkansas State in 2012.
Yeah.
And the Mariota, just, it's so good.
I remember the year before that, Jerry Allen didn't know how to pronounce Kenyon Barner's name, and he knew Kenyon, but he said Barnar. It was the weirdest thing ever.
Speaking of a Castilian, Barnar.
Like, what are you doing? Like, you see the name in front of you. What are you doing?
Were you expecting him to go Kenjon? Is that what you were?
Well, no. Like, that's what you would think. Miss, everybody would see his name and go Kenjon. Yeah. He knew Kenyon. Barnar.
I mean, what? Though at that point in time, Jerry was getting a lot of names wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, it's old.
If you ever listened to him on a basketball broadcast in 2012, it was pretty
it's tough.
DeLon Brooks.
It's
Denal, man.
It's tough. Let's not spend an hour and a half bashing Jerry Allen.
Oh no, Jerry's great.
Maybe 15 minutes.
No.
Kidding.
That's the great thing about.
I love that you stopped us like you were going to say something. I know. And didn't say anything.
Sorry.
Whoa, wait. Ah, never mind.
That's the great thing though about local announcers is their like flubs and their flaws become really cute. Totally. We're like, Joe Buck cannot get away with that doing a national game.
Well, it's a numbers game too. Like, if you have millions of people watching you, you're going to have 100,000 who are going to talk shit no matter what you do.
Very true.
You have like, you know, a few thousand, then maybe a couple here.
What were the numbers on Oregon radio? Do you know?
I don't.
You don't?
I honestly didn't. Yeah.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. I know. Except it was. It was good enough to sell to a bunch of people.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
but you do got to be kind of a little worried when the guy's starting to get a little older and starting mispronouncing things. That's when you don't know what's starting to slip.
I know he in particular, he's been dealing with a lot of health things the last 10 years or so. He had like really bad like back stuff that he had to. And I know his wife was like dealing with a bunch of stuff, too. So he had to like take time away to be with her. So it's been a whole bunch of stuff for him. You know, that's why they've been grooming Joey Mac the way they have over the last like 5+ years.
Smart.
Yeah, smart. By the way, look.
But it's really smart. Look
at the point where he got in. By the way, like early 20s, he graduated from the U of O, like doing a show, and then jumped into like the Duck Insider stuff. And so he's going to like be full-time football guy by the time he's 30. And if you do that, you could do that.
That's a 50-year gig.
You could do exactly that, dude. You could do that for like 40 years if you wanted to. God,
and what's so genius about how they slipped him in is, I mean, I think we can all agree Joey Mack is good at what he does, right?
Totally. Polished as hell.
But if they just flew him in from Texas Tech games when Jerry retires in 2 years completely, no one would like him. Oh, this guy.
Right.
This Joey Mack. Oh, God. But because it's just been sprinkled in here, there, some basketball, baseball, football increasing, when he finally takes over.
Yeah, it's really going to be smooth.
It's going to be very smooth. Yeah,
we've seen it coming for the last like few years.
And I also think that's like really cool on Jerry Allen's part, where he was like, mm-hmm. you want to know what? I could have an ego and travel all year still, like I'm 29.
Do some Jay Leno shit, change his mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. But no, he was super cool with it.
No, you once you hit that level, you go like Remdog style and you just do the home games only.
Absolutely.
Why would you want to travel? I don't get it.
Right.
Worth noting before we move on from this subject, which we probably should. Joey Mack did not want to be called Joey Mack. I don't know if you remember that. I remember Jerry and Jorgie started calling him Joey Mack, and he was like, yeah, Joey McMurray. I'm not sure if I like it. And then it kind of became the brand. You got to stick with it.
And congratulations to Jorgie on the recent marriage in Sun River. Good for you.
Jorgie got married?
He did.
Good for him.
Yeah, I know.
Look at that, by the way.
Jorgie and the beautiful bride on Central Jorgie. Oregon.
Jorgie, like, what's the word for that? Like, what's the guy equivalent of like a cougar? You know,
that's Silver what Jorgie Fox. Is. Isn't that what?
Yeah, Silver Fox. That's what like Jorgie that, yeah. is, man. Like, super fucking great dude. Like, good looking, in shape guy. You know, later on in years, that guy's great. That guy's great. Every time I ever interacted with him. Like, he is a truly awesome guy. Like, I can make no bones about that.
And he tells the truth on air.
He does indeed.
Of course. Yeah. I will just never forget when Oregon, like, punted or did something against Wazoo in 2015 at home with, like, 6 minutes left. Jorgie's like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
You don't have momentum. You just have a one score lead and you ran it up the middle three times fast and punted. Scott Frost or whoever was the Matt Lubick. I don't even remember who it was. I think it was Lubick, but he was not happy. And I was out of driving like, you want to know what? Going to a wedding. And I'm like, that's refreshing. Because I know you can't really say what you want to say. That's just part of the gig of being, you know. But it was really close. And I remember Jerry Allen was like, well, hurry up offense. You dance with the girl that brought you here. He's like, No.
Yeah, the girl who brought us here has been hired and fired by the NFL already.
And I think the thing that pissed him off the most was that like Royce Freeman wasn't on the field for any of the runs. It was like Tony Brooks James, Taj Griffin.
Yeah. Oh, what was that we were talking about a few weeks ago where Oregon had that recruit like committed or something like that. And he said he was, I think you and I were talking about this, Ski. He said like, yeah, I grew up watching LaMichael James and D'Anthony Thomas and Taj Griffin. And I was like, you would have been 7. No, you didn't. You don't remember any of those people. You were told about those people on your recruiting trip.
Like, right, their pictures are hanging somewhere on your you saw them.
Yeah, you saw them. You know of them. You did not watch them. There's no way.
Yes, I do love the artistic interpretation of recruits saying they grew up watching someone.
Right.
Like even now, someone commits to USC. Yep, grew up watching Reggie Bush. No, you actually might not have even been alive.
You weren't alive yet.
You weren't alive.
Nope.
I know that ages me like, for saying four, that, but...
yeah, like 4 years old, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You were not watching...
you were in diapers.
Who are you watching? If you were saying that as SC, who are you realistically watching? So maybe like, was that like 4 years after Reggie and like Lendale? And Jesus, I'm trying to remember who...
Joe McKnight, rest in peace.
Yeah, who was like in between McCaffrey and those guys? Joe McKnight? Yeah.
McCaffrey.
McCaffrey Stanford, never mind.
Yes, he is.
Who am I thinking for USC from like 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
Ronald Jones.
Ronald Jones.
He was good. Yep.
Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah.
Definitely not a little white guy, but that's who I was thinking.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Joe McKnight, probably. That was like the after Reggie Bush, Lindell White era was Joe McKnight.
Mark Sanchez and Joe McKnight. Man, whoo.
Lethal combination.
Yeah, John David Booty.
I almost said butt fumble, too. That's a common theme there. All right, let's get to sports. Were we just talking
sports? Sports. I think we were talking sports. We never talk sports.
I know. To start off with, that's crazy. Christ. Here, I'll talk non-sports. So you've been having neighbor issues. I've seen that, King.
Boy.
So here's what happened. Here's what happened in my hood yesterday. So I finished work, working from home. I opened the door to like go to the store. I had to just buy a couple things and come home quick. And like, as I'm getting in my car, I look over to my neighbor across the street. So it's like, I live in like, it's wraps around kind of, so there's across the street, near the front door. And then around the side, there's another street across there. So I live in the corner. And so I look in the one on the other side, like the side of the house, and like, there's two cops and they have a guy in like cuffed. Like one of the cops is just like standing there talking to the guy who's cuffed. Like, it doesn't look like my neighbor. Like, they just moved in a few months ago. Doesn't look like my neighbor. And then I see some old guy who I've never seen before standing on the front porch talking to the other cop. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, it was weird because I'm working in my kitchen and I heard a loud crashing noise. And I just assumed it was my kid in the living room fucking around. And so, like, later on, obviously, I realized it's something different. So I go to the store, come back, and then the cops are gone. And so I kind of like walk around and just kind of like assess the scene. And there's my neighbors, when they moved in, they installed these like flower beds. So they're like the, you know, the wood flower beds that are elevated and they have like the dirt inside of them. So one of them, a pickup truck is on one. So like the front left tire of the pickup truck is on one. And then like a big piece from the middle. I don't know if you know, what's that big piece called that goes like down the middle of a car, like from front to back? It's like the big long tube type thing. I don't know what that's called.
Muffler.
Definitely not that.
A chassis.
The exhaust.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. But anyway, it's not attached to the car anymore. So that's a part of the problem. And then behind the car, there's like these kind of like smaller trees and bushes, and those are just like destroyed, like completely wiped out. So it looks like the truck went back and forward a few times and then ended up on this flower bed where it has been for like since the incident. Like the truck can't move. They would have to get it towed or something like that, and they're not going to do it. I don't recognize the truck. I don't think it's theirs. But it's definitely been on their flower bed since the incident happened. And I'm not like, it would feel weird to like go across the street and ask them what the hell happened. Like, I've seen them outside and, you know, just like cordially walk around. They're just doing their yard work and whatever, like nothing's happened. And the truck, meanwhile, is on top of their flower bed. Crazy. I almost like went up and, like before I left, I almost went up and just talked to the cop and be like, hey, is there anything I need to know? I mean, but the guy in cuffs was also standing there. So that could have been awkward, especially if that's actually somebody related to the neighbor, or
you could have had like an eventual Costanza moment where you see that guy somewhere in a bathroom later on.
Yeah. I don't need that.
Safeway in a month.
I don't need that. So I saw you talking to the cop there.
It's you.
Yeah. But your situation seems worse.
Oh yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah,
not great.
Anytime dogs are involved.
Today apparently he I can't say much.
Yeah, of course.
Because there might be some stuff
ramifications.
But today, I guess some neighborhood kids, mine included, were playing basketball outside. You know, because they have a hoop. And apparently he came out and started taking pictures of the kids, and some other neighbor was like,
that's a problem.
That's a problem, man. And he's like, no, I'm taking picture of this yard debris. And he's like, I'm not fucking stupid. I see where you are. See where the yard debris is. I see where your phone is.
You want to hand me the phone and let's take a look?
I think he tried that, but then he realized that he couldn't actually cajole Yeah, it's good. It's been a good 5 days over here.
Fun times.
It sounds like you need to have a conversation not into a microphone with somebody who is not attached to the situation about handling this situation.
I mean, I can either confirm nor deny through counsel that may be a thing.
Oh boy. All right, let's talk the alliance. The quote unquote alliance. So, interesting press conference today. It was the head of the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 in a Zoom call, which, by the way, I feel like the Zoom call was really well done. I don't know if you watched it at all. Like, I feel like a Zoom call for that situation was better than a press conference for that situation would have been. Where if it would have been three guys sitting at a table answering questions, I don't know. Like, just watching it happen, I feel like the Zoom call was great. Like, it just, I don't know. It seemed more personable, and the way it was organized, like, I just, kudos to whoever did that. Cause
I did, they did have matching back Zoom backdrops. So that
they
was
did. Somebody did work and put the three logos in Photoshop with a blue background. Very well done. So they talked about a handshake agreement, which is shaky. I think all of the media members at the press conference kept kind of pushing them on, because a handshake agreement is not an agreement. That's not a thing. It's nice that you guys have been having these nice conversations, but we'll see what that actually means, because as we know, in anything, shit can change, you know, significantly in a week. You know, watch the SEC come in and say, oh, by the way, ACC, we want to combine forces and form a super conference. And the ACC is going to say no to that. No,
nope,
not going to happen. So, you know, stay tuned, I guess. It is kind of exciting. Just thinking about the possible matchups that can happen. I mean, just inevitably, that's all you think of from a sports perspective. Just the, you know, we saw some hypotheticals on, you know, Twitter for football. I think people are overlooking basketball quite a bit on this one, because especially with the ACC, because, you know, we're talking about like Duke and North Carolina. Well,
basketball already is pretty good at having good matchups in non-conference games already.
Syracuse. Yeah, but now you're playing those teams twice a year, maybe. Probably not.
No. But,
yeah.
See, that's.
But still, if we're talking about like seeing premier matchups in, you know, the main revenue sports, you know, men's basketball and football, I think, you know, Arizona, North Carolina on a regular basis would be cool. Oregon playing any one of those three schools on a regular basis would be cool.
It's amazing for basketball.
It is.
But football, you're not going to want to go against those teams in football. I mean, we've talked about I bet the handshake agreement is, all right, our top teams in the conference, we're going to match up against your shitty teams. So you'll have the guys of, oh, look at, they're playing against other conferences, but the good teams aren't going to lose unless it's a big upset kind of thing.
Maybe every like 4 years.
Yeah.
Every like 4 years. Right. Yeah. Oregon plays Clemson. Mm. USC plays Ohio State.
No. Oregon plays Virginia Tech. Oregon does not play Clemson.
I would love that.
Save that for the playoff, because that's cannibalism. Like, nobody wants that.
No.
Oregon plays Louisville every 5 years, you know?
God.
or Northwestern.
What will be funny is how they start spinning Oregon versus Wake Forest, or like...
No, we've been down this road before. Oregon versus Wake Forest is never good.
I think we're 0-2 against Wake.
Yeah, no.
Beat them in basketball once, though, in like the Sweet 16. Take that. It wasn't Chris Paul, but whatever.
That would be great.
But
Wake Forest fans just hold that over Oregon's head. Play us, you cowards.
Cowards! 0-2!
No, but what is this? This alliance really means nothing in the grand scheme of football, for football at least. I mean, so what you play...
It kind of determines your quote-unquote non-conference games, right? Because
it
doesn't sound like...
That means nothing.
Yeah, well, they're not like forming a super conference.
No,
they're still
exactly.
Staying the same. they're just, what they're doing is forming like bowl alliances and non-conference alliances, basically.
But yeah,
like,
so the hard things that don't matter.
The hard thing about like the non-conference stuff is I was listening to some SEC honks today. One of them actually hosts a radio show in Eugene, which is bizarre, but apparently we like the SEC here.
Crepia?
James, yes.
I was like, there's only two people who host radio shows in Eugene.
and he was talking to a Barrett Salee who doesn't see anything other than Republicans in the SEC.
I wonder what James Crepia says every time he has to put on a mask to go to a press conference. I wonder if he's mad about it.
No, he's furious.
Comrade Kate.
And they were just crushing this whole thing. Oh, well, you know, the good teams only play like every 10 years. And I'm like, yeah, welcome to like the SEC schedule where Florida hasn't played Alabama in a regular season game since Bush was in office. Like, yeah, that's how it works, dudes.
That's on purpose.
God, yeah. And the one thing about the alliance announcement, because I don't think anything announced today was like shifting, you know, groundbreaking, anything like that.
Frankly, they didn't really announce anything.
Exactly.
They said a bunch of stuff that was already being reported that they were talking about an alliance.
The SEC people, they're so determined to crush every other league that they just want that shit to be so regional to the SEC. And outside of them just being like regionally proud, and I've lived in Mississippi forever and now I live in Atlanta and I love the SEC and that's what I cover. That's not healthy for the sport.
No.
Well, and it's not an apples and oranges thing, but like Major League Baseball, regional TV ratings, great. People watch their team. I don't watch the Marlins. I don't watch the Yankees. I don't watch the Cubs. I don't watch the Dodgers. Like, yes, your regional ranking, like TV ratings, all that can be great. It's got to be a big umbrella. And I think the SEC folks are the last to know that because they keep winning or they're always close. Alabama's great. I get it. I just feel like they're not seeing the future down the road. Like, hey, Andy Staples, every time some other conference has an idea, why are you shitting on it and saying, well, the SEC is better? Like, your sport's going to die on the vine like that, in my opinion.
Well, I think that's why SEC fans were more for, like, the super conference. Because that's kind of what they want it to be, really, right?
Right.
A super conference and everything else outside of that is, it doesn't matter.
Dunzo.
So, I think in a perfect world, that's what they want. You know, they want to, you know, vulture, what, maybe five or six teams and add to the SEC is what they want.
And so much of everything that happened today and all of the landscape moving forward, I mean, they mentioned it a few times during the press conference today, too, is like the college football playoff, yes. But the college football playoff is, you know, college football playoff and the SEC are working with ESPN. So
there you go.
So and if you are not part of that, like the ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12, then you need to figure out something else to get at least close to that level. So if you're not going to be with ESPN, you better do something close to it or hopefully better. And if you align yourselves together, you throw these three humongous historic conferences together at, you know, prospective TV deals, that's something you can actually sell. Like, as we've seen, the Pac-12 cannot sell itself. The ACC, probably not. Nope. Big Ten, absolutely not. I mean, they're again popular in their region, but beyond that, absolutely nothing.
They have Ohio State, Michigan, and nothing else. Yeah.
You need national deals, and right now the SEC is the only player in the game with national deals.
And that's kind of the thing that was like irritating me today is I was looking back to I can't remember how it started. It may have even been about the alliance, but it was like a week or so ago. And someone mentioned to Andy Staples, well, come on, dude, like ESPN shapes this whole sport. Like, let's get real. And he's like, oh, ESPN, why would ESPN try and shape the narrative that this one conference is better? And money? This person who was not a Washington fan threw up two examples. When in 2016 or 17, it was 17, the year after the Huskies made the playoffs, they did that thing where they put cupcakes on the field to represent on ESPN to represent who the Huskies were playing. Mm-hmm. And then when Washington got mad, like, why are you calling us cupcakes? Kirk Herbstreit was like, just be glad we put you on TV.
Right.
And he was like, well, that's not shaping the narrative. Dude, it absolutely is. And yeah. I'm not even saying I'm like mad about it or disagree with it. They pay for a product. They're going to pump that product. Notice that when they didn't have the NHL anymore, when NBC beat them out for, they didn't cover the NHL. And now they slowly got it back.
45 seconds a segment. That was it.
And I think next year they only have because the NHL.
Neil Everett like forced that to happen.
Yes. And next year they have the NHL, and the NHL is going to be prominently placed on ESPN.
But so you're telling me that's why we're seeing a lot of like soccer shit popping up now?
ESPN Plus, baby. Because they cover yes.
Well, they spy like La Liga.
They
and
got
like
La soccer. Liga and the Bundesliga.
It behooves ESPN to have the SEC teams in the conversation at the end of the season. So you can go to, you know, SEC Network or, you know, ESPN to watch these SEC games that are leading up and determining who's going to be in the playoff, which is also on ESPN, the pre-show, the ranking show on ESPN. Like they fucking feed themselves throughout the whole year. And so that's what you're fighting against. Well, the narrative that they're not fighting against that is fucking ridiculous. Like watch the last 20 years of broadcasting college football. Like it's an uphill battle for everybody on the outside looking in. And we've seen what happens. Like in our area, we have seen how much the Pac-12 has failed. Like just miserably. And we put it all on Larry Scott. It's a fucking impossible job to do that. Like the only way you can do that, I think we're learning right now, is to align yourself with other, you know, semi giants to go against the actual giant. It's you're forming like Voltron, right? Like you need to combine forces if you're going to even have a chance. And
they saw
the fucking writing on the wall, and good on them. They got together and did it quick. Like I know why it's just a handshake agreement right now. It's because it was too quick to actually put together paperwork and legal documents to agree on everything. But the fact that they got all the, you know, they got all the school presidents in on board, the ADs so far seem to be on board. That's big.
Yeah. Like FDA has definitely not approved it yet. That's for sure.
No. They got a long ways to go. They're talking about like a few years down the road, right?
Yeah. Like I said, I think it has no chance because, like you said, the narrative and everything is for the call for football for the playoff is ESPN, and there's almost nothing you can do about that. But outside of college football playoff, you take the alliance to CBS and say, "Hey, here's basketball. We're gonna have a tournament between these three conferences every year. Give us a shit ton of money." And then you start lining your coffers a little bit with some more money. And then you could start expanding out in the football markets a little better.
Preseason Big Ten Pac-12 ACC basketball tournament? Sick. Holy shit.
Sick.
That would be so good. That's humongous. And by the way, not just CBS. I mean, you could align each conference with a different major network. I mean, I guess it couldn't be ABC because that's also ESPN. Nope. But you know, NBC, CBS. Yeah,
I guess. Do they have to do that for football? Do Fox? They have to say, all right, these three conferences, do they have to all go together as the alliance to a major network and say, hey, you take on all three of us and try to compete against ESPN? Is that
kind of tough? That's tough because it would have to be that NBC situation where you're using like four or five different, you know, actual TV channels.
They do have different channels. And like I said, for the non-marquee games, you still got your local, you know.
Well, because that's kind of what I was wondering. Because now that ESPN has bought out CBS for that primetime SEC game,
Like, oh, they did, didn't they?
They did. Yes, exactly. Oh, wow. Yes, yes. So when this whole alliance thing starts forming in like 5 years.
So CBS is looking for something too.
Something. I don't know if it's this year or next year, but CBS is done. Is if you just went to CBS and did this alliance, whatever, you have September is great because they could pick any. I mean, all it's going to be prime time if they want it to be every single week. But then the next 2 months, it's not that hard to just be like, okay, USC and Oregon is on CBS at 3:30.
Easy.
Okay, Clemson and Miami.
Easy.
Okay, it would never be Ohio State and Michigan because Fox.
Michigan Northwestern or something.
Sure,
yeah.
Ohio Iowa. State,
Penn State.
Like, yeah. You just granted, we're not in there. We don't know the exact TV contracts. But it just feels like if they went to CBS and were like, listen, you already are great on basketball. You're like your Sunday morning basketball or Saturday morning basketball is great.
That alliance owns college basketball.
It would own it.
Period.
And then just, yeah. I mean, September is a no-brainer every single year. And then there's going to be some stinkers. You know, you're just schedule-wise, you're just going to get Virginia Tech versus Boston College. Like, that's Cal versus Wazoo. It's going to happen.
That's just part of doing business.
It's just part of doing business. Because like that's Ski the same said, thing though, with them anyway.
Like Ski said, though, that's why you keep the conference networks around.
Yeah.
Is to throw those games on.
You still got to show all the games somewhere. So,
and
yeah.
And then you can showcase them and act like they're special because it's on your network.
Absolutely.
You get Yogi out there talking about Oregon State and Wazoo. Yeah. Like, boy, that guy could sell any Pac-12 game in the history of Earth, man.
Because trust me, we've all watched Kentucky at Auburn on CBS because it was just like, well,
it's on.
Can't every week can't be a banger. So enjoy Terry Wilson.
That's kind of the thing, though, right? Like, that's kind of the thing this creates is that every week we'll have a banger.
Yeah.
That's great. It's weird, but this feels like it's great for the sport.
And kind of wrapping back around, because I was kind of mocking James Crepia because he was banging on the whole thing. He banged on the press conference, but he says the finished product in 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, because they're not going to be canceling non-conference games, is going to be great.
Cannot wait.
And it'll be instantly great for basketball and soccer, you know, whatever, which, I mean, isn't in the same stratosphere. But
I mean, really, they don't have to wait for basketball, you know?
No, like, they do it all the time.
They already do it, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, Oregon's non-conference schedule is...
They go year to year.
They do that shit on the fly.
They do. Yeah, exactly. Like, they find out they play NCU, like, the week of a game with NCU. they're not NCU anymore. I forget what they're called.
Bushnell.
It's like, ah, shit, somebody backed out. Bushnell, let's go.
I did drive by Bushnell's new baseball stadium.
They have a baseball stadium. Where's that?
What's that middle school in Springfield called?
Hamlin.
Yeah, Old I don't know what's Hamlin. Called. Yeah. Where it's right off the 5 if you're driving.
Pioneer Park, I-5 there.
Yeah, and so, they've torn up one. They're building their own little stadium, and it's coming along pretty nice. Mm-hmm.
Hey, those Catholics want to throw some cash at the M's. Looking to keep the M's around, please. If
for
we
real,
could.
Like, so I've gone to like 5 M's games this year.
Yeah,
and the last I went to one on Saturday and one like a month ago, and the one a month ago. They mentioned the, save our M's thing, you know, a couple of times.
Yeah.
On Saturday, it was every PA announcement. Like,
I hope so.
Hello, PK crowd, save our M's.
Do you like being here? Yeah.
SaveRM's.org. Like, hey, shit. If it's not Glenwood, we are moving to Vancouver, BC. Or
please,
wherever.
God, no. Please, God, no. We need minor league baseball.
I think you're going to move. I don't think we're building them a new stadium. I know it's a whole different topic, but.
I don't know where it'd be.
Glenwood is where they want it.
Outside of that, I don't know where.
Yeah, outside of that, unless
got to get money.
Unless they go way out in Bethel, or way out River Road, which don't make sense.
No.
Commuter wise for any of them. So.
Damn shame.
So back to the Alliance. Did the Alliance pretty much just put the final needle in the Big 12?
Oh yeah,
that's dead. A purely dead conference now, right? If the Alliance goes through.
Yes. I thought it was funny that they asked the three commissioners about that today. Like, they asked them about the Big 12 as if they give a shit about the Big 12. They talked like they did. I fully understand that. Like, yes, and I understand that, you know, college sports is better if the Big 12 is around. I don't think it is anymore. I think without Texas and Oklahoma, it doesn't really matter. And if they're not, like, aligning themselves to anybody,
Do you relegate them to a mid-major?
Or they disband and join other conferences.
Everyone goes everywhere, yeah.
Out of everyone who's still in the Big 12, is Kansas the only one that's somewhat desirable?
Baylor.
I mean, Baylor outside the shit that...
But Baylor's academics are really whack.
Yeah,
and they're like religious stuff, which is just always a hurdle.
That's the issue with the Big 12, is like academically... So that's
not good.
That's one of the reasons why you're looking at the three allied forces joining together right now, is all three of those conferences are really good academically. And the Big 12 is frankly not.
And can I just frankly say, as someone that graduated from the U of O, I laugh that the U of O is held in such higher esteem than like every single remaining Big 12 school.
I think several.
I'm just saying.
And I think in that term, I think several Pac-12 teams are carrying a few other Pac-12 schools in that regard. So you have your Stanfords and your Cals.
Hey, buddy. We're an AAU school, buddy. There's only like 37 of us in the world.
Sure. All right.
Somehow we're still one. Go Ducks.
National brand.
Yes.
I think you maybe take like West Virginia. I mean, they're okay.
Do you want to travel to West Virginia?
No. I mean, no. Oklahoma State? I mean,
No.
TCU?
Iowa State? I mean,
No. Well, they are an AAU school too, so they might join the Big Ten or something.
Are we going to see maybe two of these go to like Mountain West?
I kind of think the Athletic. The American Athletic? Is that what it's called? The AAC? Wow. I think they buy up all the remaining.
Oof.
Because then they make it kind of, and then they'll like get Boise or something. It's a
regional too. Yeah.
Because then they can go from like East Coast to West Coast. Yeah. I kind of think that's how it ends. But it's sad. Like, can you just imagine being like a Kansas State fan right now?
But they'd have to do something with Kansas basketball.
Kansas will join Big Ten, ACC, something.
Throw kids in the Pac-12. Get a free win in football and have a powerhouse in basketball. Fuck it.
I'd be fine with that, actually. Yeah.
I think Kansas is probably like self-sustainable, Kansas basketball.
Just go independent, maybe?
I think just stay in whatever situation you're currently in, and it doesn't really matter to them. Because like we said with college basketball, they can still play all these teams in the non-conference. They're still going to make the tournament, probably.
Can I just give a little caveat to that?
You just win your conference and you're golden going into the tournament.
Because UConn thought that joining the AAC, and they even won a national championship in basketball on the men's and countless on the women's in the AAC. And they were like, nope, we don't make money. So our football team is going to be independent, and our basketball team is going to the Big East, which somehow has a team from Nebraska in it now.
Oh, yeah, we forget about Nebraska, huh? Yeah, they're in the Big Ten. That's right. Yeah. So Oregon could play Nebraska.
Okay. Yeah, we've seen that.
Going to Nebraska would be cool again. That was cool.
That was cool.
Yeah.
But Oregon just went for two again and missed.
But if they do break up the Big 12.
Dakota Prukop just missed the final minute touchdown pass to Charles Nelson.
Dakota Prukop. Did you see... Shuck got named the starter.
I did.
Yep, that happened. Speaking of Big 12,
like last week, I saw. I can't remember where I saw it at, but I do. You guys remember the Dakota Prukop missed pass to Charles Nelson with like 50 seconds left at Nebraska?
No.
I don't.
Okay, you don't. They were down like 2 or 3, whatever. And I kind of forgot about it, and I saw something online, and it was the Nebraska Cornhuskers call of it. And it was like, Prukop takes a snap and he rolls right. Oh my goodness, he's wide open. And he throws it. He's so open. Charles Nelson had run back like 9 yards and it was broken up. Like, he was so wide open.
Isn't it weird how certain quarterbacks who were, you know, like highly recruited, really talented kids, they put on an Oregon Ducks uniform and step on a football field and they suddenly can't throw a football at all. Like they've never thrown one before. It's really weird in the history of Oregon football.
That's why I don't trust Southern California quarterbacks.
Ooh. Amazing.
And there are caveats, like Vernon Adams from Pasadena. You know, I just don't trust Catholic school.
Sure.
Southern California quarterbacks.
Remember Chris Harper?
Are you saying you don't trust white quarterbacks then? Is that more what you're saying?
Hey, no. I Team Herbs, baby. I was on the Herb era from...
I mean, we did talk about his hair already, Ski. I mean, that's Herbert hair. Let's go. Oh, shit. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. Chris Harper. He came in against Boise and arm punched a few times.
What happened? He needed Tommy John and Mike Bellotti. He was like, just go in there and hand it off 29 straight times. That might work. True freshman quarterback who needs Tommy John surgery.
Like Chip tried to throw and he's like, oh no, we can't do that, can we?
Well,
good luck.
One of the most like dumb fuckery games I've ever been to.
Absolute shit show. And then Darren Thomas comes in and all of a sudden like throws for a billion yards in the fourth quarter.
And the Darren Thomas, like, granted, came in relief. The game was kind of over. No one had ever seen it before, but he's dropping bombs like
easy.
I mean, he's throwing deep.
Yeah.
And it annoys me now that whenever I see something online about top 10 Oregon quarterbacks
and he's not there,
Darren Thomas is number 17. And I'm like,
fuck off. Fuck off. Look at his production. Look at his numbers. Look what the Oregon team was when he was their quarterback. Fuck off. Like, he's great. Like, he was great for Oregon. Like, not good. Great. I'd put him over Dixon.
Oh, absolutely.
Pretty easily. And people hold Dennis Dixon in this high regard. Dennis Dixon played a total of 7 good games for Oregon.
He was great for 7 games.
He was. Yeah. Darren Thomas was great for longer.
Yeah. And I think, and I know some of that is talent and scheme. I totally get that. Oh. Wins as a quarterback isn't really a stat, blah, 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 blah. But at a certain point.
Numbers were pretty good, too.
It kind of is. I mean.
Well, didn't DT leave a year early?
Yes, because Mariota was going to start over him.
I think there's still a little animosity towards him leaving early and going undrafted. Kind of like, I mean, it makes sense. You're probably not going to have your job, but I think there might be a little animosity held still.
Boy, that would be something else. Like Darren Thomas comes off the career that he had. He's like, yeah, I'm going to come back for my last year. And they fucking bench him for a freshman.
I think it'd be that. Wow. Like Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is loved.
Yeah.
In Alabama. I mean, that reason to be loved a little more than DT, but.
Man, just this comes full circle. Cause if Darren Thomas comes back, maybe we don't get the Mariota.
Nice. Yeah, spoke to his mom before the game. That's what she told us. Mariota.
Joe Tessitore here.
Joe Tessitore. Timma. Look it out, Timma.
Oh, God. Who was he calling that game with? It was the Detroit Lions GM.
Millen.
Oh, my God.
Matt Millen somehow is doing color analyst work for the Raiders now.
Is he really?
He is. I caught like a streaming game that was broadcast on NFL Network, and NFL Network is doing like the local teams for the preseason games. And so it was the Raiders and fucking Matt Millen. He's one of the worst color analysts in the history of the sport. And somebody is paying him money to do it. It's amazing. Just amazing. Dan Fouts, by the way, I watched the Niners and the Chargers. Dan Fouts had no idea how to pronounce Diamador Lenore's name. Oh, big player from the Ducks. Lenore.
Dumbledore.
Literally.
Dumbledore Lenore.
Lenoir.
Dumbledore Lenoir.
I forget who the quarterback was for the Chargers, too. He's like some dude from North Dakota State before Trey Lance was there.
Easton Stick.
He compared him to Joe Montana, dude. No joke.
Well, no joke. He's got those FCS rings, baby.
Rings. I can't hear your criticism over the sound of my rings. What the fuck, Dan Fouts?
Is Dan Fouts still doing CBS calls?
He was working for the Chargers team. So he was calling games as the Chargers analyst.
Is he not a national guy anymore?
I don't think so. He might be.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of have lost track of that stuff.
Yeah.
I just do Red Zone.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And right. Then I guess Chiefs if they're on, you know, but.
I mean, if the local guy starts talking over the clip, Scott jumps in and cuts them off pretty quick. Yes. Gets to another something else going.
Are we all Scott Hansen Red Zone guys?
Oh yeah, big Scott Hansen Red Zone guy.
Real quick, one more.
I feel like he's hedging.
I'm sorry. I was not over Fouts. I was okay. Still thinking about.
Let's
Fouts.
Talk Fouts. Let's bury this duck great. Let's do it.
Well, that duck great. You say that. All he wanted to talk about was Justin Herbert because he didn't have anything else to talk about. he had no idea what was happening. How do you not know who Diamador Lenore is?
I am now picturing.
You supposedly watched the Ducks, right? We've seen him at Ducks games like that Lenore was playing in. We know he's heard the name before. It's like, oh boy.
But can you just picture this? Dan Fouts gets, you know, he walks to the Redmond, very much not international airport. He's picked up in a charter plane by the Chargers.
Yeah.
Flies down. That's it.
Yeah, and then no prep work.
Call this
kind.
Game.
Yeah.
And he just knows Justin Herbert, Derwin James, and Austin Eckler.
Diama, huh? Just opens up his program. With the roster on it.
None of those guys were even playing, were they?
No.
None of the stars were playing, so it's like.
Yeah.
By the way, Lenore is going to make the 49ers roster. Like he is
Lenore Island, baby.
He is having a hell of a camp.
I don't think he's allowed a completion, which is
not
a real stat when you're going against Easton Stick.
Well, he's also a backup, so it's good. You got a pick.
Take you want to talk about the Ducks, the Purple People Eaters? You got Dye and Jordan both
hit
picks.
Yeah, Jordan got cut.
Oh, did he get cut?
Oh, waved her, yeah.
I did have an issue with the Troy Dye thing because they kept calling it his first career pick six. It's not. It's a preseason pick six. It doesn't count. Like, it's not in his stats. I'm sorry. I want to celebrate the guy, but it's not a pick six.
I won't celebrate it because he wasn't wearing gloves.
Thank you.
Yep.
Throw on some damn gloves, Dye brothers.
Yeah. Is that like a genetic thing?
God,
losers. Put something on your arms.
They better at least be like moist Essa-Lewing it and pissing on their hands to toughen them up a little bit. I mean, gotta do something if you're gonna go bare hand out there.
Speaking of Dye brothers, I don't think I mentioned this last week, but I was digging around on some Oregon stats and I got to Travis Dye, right? I think it was in his last like 219 carries, 219. He has one rushing touchdown in his last 219 carries.
I saw Oregon posting that.
It's not
thing
great.
Where,
and yeah, that's what I brought it back up. Like, oh, it's yeah. the most rushing yards by yes. a duo.
That's what I was going to bring up. The most returning rushing yards by a duo. And I'm like, I hope neither of them gets a single carry this year.
Man, I'm so well. And you look around and you read, not even just from fans, but like national.
Yeah.
And like, oh, Troy Dye or Travis Dye is poised for a big year. He's going to slip out of the backfield. And you look like, wow, his highlights on catches are pretty nice. But it was like six catches the entire year yeah. on wheel routes. Yeah. That was it.
Like seven yeah. games, but
you know, I'm hoping that's what it's going to only be this year as well. I mean, your set made sense because he could not score outside of 10 yards. And when it was inside 10 yards, he was not in the game. So,
but I think the funny thing is that he had like seven touchdowns his freshman year. And it wasn't seven. I'm exaggerating there, but yeah. it was like four or five. And he's had one 220 carries since.
Well, when those blades of grass start, you know, getting a little high, I mean, it's tough to run in the end zone.
That's that Taj Griffin shit, by the way. Talk about like the grass tackling him on a regular basis. I want to see a lot. I want to see a lot of
holes.
I want to see a lot of seven this year. That's what I want to see. I want to see seven McGee a lot.
I want to see some Byron, or maybe it's Brian. I don't know. Cardwell.
Yeah.
I just saw a picture of his thighs. It's like, yep, that's a guy.
Big guy. And that Trey Benson. I want all that. I want all of it.
By the way, I'm just throwing fire to this conversation now. Ski, what was up with you last week? Why did you light Mount Booble on fire like that?
It was his idea for it, so I had to.
I mean, you just out of nowhere, you just crushed that man.
It's fun to torch the Cubs, though.
But Booble's a nice dude.
Yeah, well, he could be a nice dude and still support an awful team.
That's not Ski's problem.
No.
Okay,
he supports the Cubs. You gotta,
I'm just saying, listen, the week before, I was all in on the Cub pile.
Oh, yeah.
I was piling on.
I wasn't done with it yet the week before.
I mean, I don't remember who that, like, Justice was who said they don't know what pornography is. They just know it when they see it.
Right.
Like, that shit was that was gratuitous. I didn't know what it, but I know when I see it. Like, that was uncalled for.
I'll say, in Ski's defense, we know a lot of good people who are Mariners fans. Has that ever stopped us?
I don't really know many Mariners fans, to be honest.
Oh, good for you. They're terrible.
Yeah, I bet.
can you be a good person and a Mariner fan? It's a...
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's not a thing.
I did with a buddy online. I got into an argument about, he was like, oh, Jerry DePoto is making great deals for the Mariners and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, yeah, we're going to be a playoff team next year.
Name one.
And in my head, I just ended it because, like, I don't even know if I can name.
Name a Mariner.
Okay, hang on a second. Let's go around.
Remember we used to do the skit on the old iteration? Name a WNBA.
We'll go around. Alex, Ski, then me. Alex, name a Mariner.
Oh, this especially sucks because the A's are in a series with the Mariners right now.
You should know some players right now.
I should. I haven't been paying attention other than the scores, which, by the way, Oakland has lost two in a row. Like, come on, boys. Like, what are you doing? Name a Mariner.
Name that Mariner. Woo!
Right, Steve Cishek. No, I don't think he's with them anymore.
I got some. There's a Haniger, Mitch Haniger,
Haniger,
whatever it is.
Close enough.
Seager. There's a Seager there still, right?
Still a Seager.
I remember the hype about some young kid like Kalanick or something. He came up.
The perfect
Kelenic. That's the only guy I
Kelenic.
Kelenic.
Something like that. Shed Long. Is he somehow still playing on that team?
Holy shit, he is.
Nice.
He's played like 34 games.
Oh, I got like four of them. All right. Let's see. Oh, I saw the kid throw today, Flexen. Don't know his first name. He started today for the Mariners.
Take your word for
name.
It.
His name
I'm going to go. Flexen. I'm going to say Marco Gonzalez is somehow still there.
It's wow, Chris. Chris Flexen.
Chris, are you a Mariners fan?
That's it. I'm done. I got.
Did we just
six.
Learn something? Ski is a closet Mariners fan. Chris
I got
Flexen
one.
Has 11 wins. J.P. Crawford, Haniger, yeah. Some guy named France, Seager, some guy named Toro, Torrens, some guy named Murphy.
Toros. It's getting hot in here. Must be some Toros.
Some guy named Moore.
I do I have know, some gave, guy.
They gave Cole Irvin his 12th loss today, so whatever.
I do have some guy on my fantasy team on the Mariners who was, I think, the rookie of the year last year. Which really doesn't count because they played like 40 games. I think his name is Kyle. I think he's a black guy named Kyle.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think.
I keep him on my team because they say, oh, he's coming back in 2 weeks. He's coming back. This is Kurt's team. Hi, Kurt, by the way. And they keep saying, oh, he's coming back in 2 weeks. He's taking batting practice. Say, he never come back.
You crushing that league?
Cut. No, I'm right in the middle. Oh. I was bad at first. Woof! But, you know, when you got Gossman, Bueller, and the guy for the Mets who isn't pitching anymore.
Matt Harvey. DeGrom.
DeGrom, yeah. That'll...
Matt Harvey is 100% still pitching in the bigs.
Yeah, I think he was a Royal last year.
I think he's with the Orioles.
The Dark Knight.
He returns.
I love how
I'm a Baltimore Oriole.
I'm here to take over Gotham.
I am the king of Camden.
DeGrom, bow to me. Syndergaard. God, the Mets, man. Like, this is a stupid thing. We don't need to spend any time on this.
No, but we should move on from this.
No, but the Royals played the Mets in the World Series in 2015, and Matt Harvey was the ace. With DeGrom and Syndergaard.
Matt Harvey coming off like a Cy Young.
I know. And like, the big deal was that he got pulled out of like the seventh inning in like game four. Like, that was the storyline.
I do remember a video came out. It was like right after his Cy Young. And they had him like on the street, like in a park. Like, do you know, going up to random people, like, do you know who this is?
No.
And nobody had a fucking idea who this is.
Why would they?
Like, this guy's worth like $200 million and just won the Cy Young. Who is this?
Did he play for the Knicks? I don't give a shit. Okay, what's our list?
Three ways to torch the Cubs?
Yep. I think you've gone over that pretty clearly so far.
I could probably dig up some more.
All right.
So our list on the heels of the Pacific 12, the Big 10, and the Atlantic Coast Conference forming an alliance. Our list is your top three alliances.
All right, I'm not starting this one. When do you guys start?
I'll start because all three of mine are all wrestling. So my number three, we're going, number three, we're going NWO Wolfpack.
Yeah,
don't
that's very
back
good.
On the wolf pack, you might end up in a body bag. Bam, 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 bam.
Like,
there it is.
So all of yours are all of yours are wrestling.
Oh yeah, I tried to dig through some like military alliances. And I was just like, eh.
I did one of those.
Wrestling's a lot cooler than the 1942, you know, France Germany alliance, the German Franco alliance.
Right. Your favorite, the Axis of Evil.
Yes.
So my number three alliance is the Imperial Alliance of the Genk incident.
That word sounded like it could possibly be a slur.
Because
we used to use that word Genk. We used to say that when you like shoot somebody, right?
Because they question it. They're like, the Imperial Alliance of Genk?
Question mark?
Incident.
What
of 1185 that? Through 1333. I don't know what Genk is. Neither did they.
Wait, so you don't know what this alliance is? You
just it's name? Just funny. They were like, of gank?
I like it.
And then the next word is incident. That's it.
I like it. I don't know what this is, but it's got alliance and gank in it, so I'm with it.
Yeah.
Watch, it's probably like some sort of genocide or something.
Shit. I should have looked that up. Fuck.
Yeah. Fuck. 300 million people slaughtered.
I just thought the question mark was funny in the middle of it.
Yeah. By like this dictator named Gank.
Damn it.
Shit. That's probably what the question mark is, because they're like, is it an alliance or a genocide? I don't know what to use for this.
Well, I might have really stepped into this one.
All right. My number three is kind of the opposite end of the spectrum from that. I got the World War II allies. That's my alliance. That was fairly significant.
Did we win that one?
I was trying to remember who it was.
We actually did win that war.
Is that the last war we won?
Yeah.
Or Korea, maybe?
The war on drugs?
No, we didn't win that one.
Nope.
Sorry, Nancy. Sorry, Ron.
Nancy Reagan took the L on that one. Okay. See, can you remember who was in the original like Allied forces?
Spain, France, and Germany.
No. France was one.
Japan was
Germany?
One.
Nice.
No, I know. Yeah. Japan was one.
No. So the allies. The allies. Yeah. Who was in the allies? Can you remember?
Russia, Great Britain, France.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
US.
Dr. Yes.
Australia.
No.
No Australia?
Nope. There's two more.
Wanda.
Wakanda?
Vision? That's what I thought I heard too. Canada? No, Canada.
Nope. One is a very big country. You wouldn't expect it. You would if you thought about who we were going against.
Brazil?
Because they were also very much against one of the countries we were going against in World War II. They're very close to them.
I mean, I said Russia already, right? I mean, that's who you're...
So not Germany, the other one. The other country we're going
Italy?
Against. Oh, boy.
China.
China. China.
Yeah.
China. We were allied with China because they were very much against Japan.
Well, that's because, Japan ran roughshod through them. Exactly. I don't know the last one, then I could probably guess.
And then
I do love how we worked our alliances kind of just through, like, racist.
Yeah.
Hey, China. I know you hate Japan. Let's
and by the way, like he suggests Italy, like fascist Italy. Like, very much no. Oh boy, we got to watch Band of Brothers again or something. Or something. What's your three or two?
All right, number two. Doing the back to the real stuff here. We're doing obviously. The $1 million corporation. That was that. Ted DiBiase, Bam Bigelow, IRS.
IRS is so underrated.
Yeah, and an old Stone Cold when he was called the Ringmaster.
Nice. Stone Cold is in my number two. Do you want to do yours first, or shall I go out of order, King?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'll go number two.
Okay.
My number two alliance from 2010, the Heatles.
The Heatles. Nice. Who was in that one?
LeBron James. Yeah, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. Yeah, whatever. Maybe you've heard of him.
I told you guys my daughter says LeBron James like Stephen A, right? Did I talk about that
great.
On this?
That's yeah. great.
She's never seen Stephen A before, but she says, LeBron James.
That's great. That's
it's
great.
So good. It's so good. I was like, where the fuck did that come from? That's the funniest shit I've ever heard you say. Good stuff.
You see that Stephen A hosted Jimmy Kimmel last night?
I did not.
Yeah. I didn't watch it.
It's interesting.
I saw that he got raving reviews.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, just throw it out there.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Sorry. Boy, I really threw a wet fish in your guys' lap.
I don't know. I got nothing.
Stephen A. Kimmel talk.
Good for him. A lot of people filling in for Kimmel. Is he like ill or something?
No, I just think that's what summer hosts do. Is they just take the whole summer off.
Aren't they usually not do the show? Like, I don't know. I thought that was a thing where they just take the summer off and they don't do the show. I don't know.
Old episodes, all it did.
My two is the WWE Alliance. So it was Team ECW and WCW versus the WWF. And so it was like...
Is that a video game?
What's that?
Was that a video game too?
N64?
Yes.
Yeah, it rings a bell.
Or like Dreamcast, maybe?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Like,
yeah. But it was like Shane McMahon and like Stone Cold, D-Von and Bubba Ray Dudley. They had DDP and Taz. Booker T was on it. Kurt Angle. And like they were going against the WWF team, which had like The Rock. And I guess the Rock beat Stone Cold because Kurt Angle like double crossed him or something like that.
Of course. American hero double crossed him.
And that match, everybody who was in the Alliance like lost their jobs other than Stone Cold. Everybody was gone other than Stone Cold. It's fantastic.
Great trap.
Yeah.
Write that in. They're like, no one liked it. You're fired.
Yeah, by the way, this was real. I know we predetermined everything, but bye. That's my deuce.
All right. Yes, I go. My number one is the Nation of Domination. So, and I'm going to caveat this. This was maybe the most inclusive one because, you know, it was supposed to be like the militant black wrestlers, you know, The Rock and D'Lo Brown. And then they threw in Owen Hart, who might be the whitest person, RIP Owen Hart.
Real white
into this group of like, you know, rocking like the African colors and like dashikis and stuff. It was phenomenal.
I almost made a white joke about Owen Hart that he's like a ghost, but I chose not to make that joke.
Reverse ghost, because
yeah,
falling down instead of going up to the sky.
Ghosts wear white. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't make that joke. Yeah. Did not. Anyways, speaking of grinding a podcast to a halt, what's your number one, King?
My number one is the first New World Order. Ooh. WCW Nitro, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Hollywood Hulk Hogan. It's great. Eric Bischoff came in to Bischoff, be the heel, yeah. Just really top it off. It was great.
Those were the days.
I don't know.
So was Sting in like the second version of them or something?
I think they had Buff Bagwell and Sting too.
Yeah.
But I think the original was just I know someone's gonna correct this.
Yeah.
I feel like the original New World Order was Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and Hollywood Hogan.
I feel like you're right. And then Sting came in later.
Because I feel like if you look it up, there's a clip, and everyone's just throwing bottles at them and
yeah,
Coke glasses, and yeah, I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Like the Blues Brothers
scene.
I definitely remember, but I remember he said Buff
Chico.
Bagwell.
Chico. He doesn't say anything else. Chico. He just let Hogan talk.
They had that other guy that was all
I
like,
got this one,
super
brother.
Roided out too.
What's that? That?
They had that other guy that was like super roided out that wore like chainmail headdress.
That wasn't Buff Bagwell?
That was not Buff Bagwell. There's some other one.
That, I know who you're talking
oh, that
about.
Was Scott Steiner,
Steiner.
Right?
Steiner.
Steiner.
The Steiner
yeah.
Bros.
Yeah.
Hail to Michigan, baby. Go big
yeah.
Blue. Steiner Bros.
Yeah, the chain head thing.
The chain
what was
head
that?
Thing. And the glasses.
What the hell was
it didn't
that?
Really, yeah, I don't. I well, I think, man, this is a wrestling podcast now.
I know.
Yeah. I think when the Steiner Bros were a tag team, and first together, they were like the clean cut varsity jacket wearing like white people.
Right.
So when he went to NWO, he had to be like the complete 180, and he threw on the glasses, like bleached his mustache,
got the Hogan tan,
wore the chain headdress thing.
What is that though? Like back then, we didn't even question it. What the fuck is that?
Why didn't we question more things? If we had questioned what his headdress thing is, maybe 9/11 would have never happened. I'm just saying.
Well, also, we're not questioning it because there's a guy next to him in a like a clown costume. So maybe that's why. Who calls himself Doink.
Doink.
Maybe that's why. I don't know.
Doink.
Maybe the metal thing he wears on his head is not so weird after all.
Doink. Doink. I don't remember a single doink moment other than just being doink.
Or gold dust. Remember
not a gold dust fan.
No. Dude, so weird.
We could definitely do a side project of like just old wrestling, just
90s wrestling.
Oh, just talking about the ridiculous shit.
Yep.
Yeah. You were right. One of the Steiner brothers wore like the wrestling ear things, didn't he? Yeah. Right? Yes. Yeah.
The cauliflower ear pad.
Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure they were both like collegiate champions at Michigan.
Right.
That's amazing. Oh, fuck.
All right. I got to do my one. My number one is D-Generation X. D-Generation X! That was the thing, I think. So who was D-Generation X? It was X-Pac, Road Dogg, Jesse James, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, China was in it.
China, oh boy.
Who Billy else Gunn. Was in it?
Billy Gunn.
Billy Gunn. I don't remember Billy Gunn.
You say X-Pac?
I did.
Yeah.
X-Pac! They got the problem.
I'm looking at... So you guys saw, I was not looking at the list while I was talking to you, but I have the list here now. Apparently, Mike Tyson was a member of D-Generation X.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's the thing.
Suck it. Probably not the thing you want a guy who went to a prison for rape charges to do is be doing the suck it thing. Good God, Vince McMahon. Read the room.
Oh, they gave no shits about anything. Yep.
Road Dogg, underrated wrestler in the history of wrestling. I loved Road Dogg.
Did you know that the D-Generation X crotch chop was used in the 2008 film Slumdog Millionaire?
No. When did they use it? I'm trying to picture it.
Jamal used it.
I believe it.
After getting away from the pursuing security guards.
We should try to bring that back, by the way.
Did he tell him to suck it, too, with it? Is that kind of
Pete Weber also used it.